Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Square One Podcast. We're taking our guests back to square one where they first started their careers or their businesses, and we're going to learn from their failures. Square One's brought to you by Omni Home Services, which represents Chattanooga Home Inspector, Elevate Home Staging Design, Nuclear Pest Control, Radon Eraser, and hopefully some more business entities in the future. I'm your host, Malcolm Godwin. Thank you for listening. Today, we are in the studio with Madison McCann with Speakeasy Productions. Co-hosting today is the one and only Jen Bunyak, which is the director of Rev Gen Ops and Marketing for us at Omni Home Services. And our star guest today, Jesse. Oh, with sound effects. Great. I love it. Jesse Gant Temple with Feathers and Fruit Farming.
Yeah. Morning.
Thank you for being with us today.
Any opportunity to talk, especially with you, because you helped us buy our farm.
I told you technically not to buy that house, but
he did. He straight up. That's why we love you. And we've had you check out other properties as well, because he's like, don't do it. And we're like, okay, we're going to buy it.
Jesse and I go way back. We did a home inspection for her. Actually, we did one like on Big Ridge first, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you guys, that house was a total shithole.
Yep.
And then you bought another place out in Soddy Daisy, which was also a shithole. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'd typically never tell anybody not to buy a house, but this one's got a lot of stuff going on. And you're like, we love it. And you purchased it and you made a beautiful farm out of the place. So congratulations.
Thank you. And I think you said we had like 5 to 10 years before that house fell down, the one that we bought. And we are tearing it down this year, which makes 8 years. So your calculations, you're on point. Like, he's like, yeah, this has this much time. And you were right. So, yeah, that first house that we looked at was a hot mess. But the farm, we weren't buying it, obviously, for the house. We bought it for the almost 20 acres. And it's been great. We've been working on the land and the chickens and the orchard for 8 years. And then we're like, oh shit, this house is falling down. Okay, we're going to tear it down.
Oh, if only you would have known. So for our listeners that maybe don't know you, you guys are got a shitload of chickens. You're selling a bunch of eggs to local restaurants, bakeries. I know that you pickle a lot of that stuff. You're growing a lot of veggies and orchard, you said. You guys also have pistol classes on the farm, canning classes, chunking pumpkins, Christmas tree burning, all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah.
What else do we not know about Feathers to Fruit? Feathers and Fruit.
Right. Ampersand. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. I have no idea what I'm doing. Okay. So the first book that I got was Chickens for Dummies. That's what Robert bought for me. And then he bought me Gardening for Dummies. And we started with 30 chickens in 2016. And then Need Loves was like, hey, we want to get fresh eggs. We need 60 a dozen. And all of a sudden, within like turnaround time, we have a couple hundred chickens. And but yeah, I like have killed aloe. You can sunburn aloe.
Oh,
yeah. So I just let it out there. I was like, oh, you'll be fine. You protect us from the sun.
We use you.
Yeah. And it was like, no, I'm dying. So I do not have a green thumb. So I always joke, like, if the chickens die, then we'll eat it. It's fine, you know. But really, just over the past 8 years, it's been us figuring out what we want. And we want to grow community. I want to teach others that if I can or safely handle a handgun, you can too. So the canning classes started in 2019, like right before COVID. And started popping around town. And this year we're doing not any on the farm, no canning classes, because we're going to tear this house down and it's going to be a hot mess. But we'll be at like Ivy Academy, Audubon Acres, and Urban Horticulture Supply. So just trying to get out to different parts of the community. Like with Ivy Academy, kids can come, but it's like 10 and older.
Is this like an after hours class?
Yeah.
Cool.
I told them, I was like, hey, every time I say prep, you drink. And they were like, well, I can't drink. But the Urban Horticulture and the Audubon Acres, because you prep a lot in the first hour, but then of the canning class, but then the last 2 hours you can sober up. But I say prep is a 4-letter word because I suck at farming and gardening and growing things, like I mentioned the aloe, I'm a terrible cook. I've burned hard-boiled eggs 3 times in my life. Like, don't leave the house. Don't go away. Don't walk upstairs. Like, so timers are your best friend if you want to learn to cook. But now I'm cooking and canning and pickling 6 different kinds of pickled eggs. And the one thing that I am good at is being flexible. Animals die, plants die, you get late frosts, shit happens, you just got to go with
it. Let's talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
A lot of the guests that we've had on the past, you know, they may be, you know, successful or unsuccessful in whatever realm that they're in, but a lot of people that we have on kind of hate what they do, or they just don't like love it. The one cool thing about you and the path that you've went down is you follow like passion more than anybody else. Outside of being a roller derby person for 8 years, which was cool, we got to come and watch one of your
bouts
is what they're called. Okay.
Bout by definition is a short burst of energy.
Okay.
So it's a bout.
That was very interesting. Do they still do that at the Chattanooga Convention Center?
They actually relocated to Camp Jordan, and now there's like stadium seating. And I officially retired in 2018 to really start to focus on the farm. And I know it was a good thing when anytime there's been a game over the past couple of years, I usually have a canning class or some kind of big activity that I have to do. But I met my husband through roller derby, so highly recommend go to a game.
I thought it was definitely cool. So again, passion is your thing, and you follow that, which we admire and adore. Getting on to our first question about our target audience seeing, talking about failure, you know, your answer here is quite like real when it comes to, you know, farming and just like fucking life, man. Like, talk about death as being a part of things. So, like, tell us, because apparently farm fluencers are a thing.
I made that up. Okay. But now I'm you. Like, ooh, that's us.
I like
good.
It.
I do too.
Because in my mind, I'm like, I follow my wife's idea of like, hey, we grew something. Oh, it's so pretty. And then, like, we move on. But tell us about, like, the bad part of that, like when shit dies.
Yeah. This morning, I was telling Malcolm how last night I found baby chicks. We don't generate baby chicks. We buy a couple hundred every July and they get shipped in these cute little boxes. And but my chickens are free range. And so there's a whole bunch of eggs all over the place. I mean, freaking all over. And I knew that there were some in our brooder, right, which we close up after the baby chicks are out. Because I watched a hen like fly out and I was like, oh, you asshole. So I'm like, I'll go check on those eggs. I'll go get them. And so last night I'm like, I need to go and get these. And I open the door and you hear beep, 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 beep. I was like, oh my gosh. And there's the mama hen that I watched fly out and 5 alive baby chicks. They're probably like 3 days old and 5 dead baby chicks. And so the old me, like the, you know, tender-hearted pre-farming livestock farmer would have just probably crumbled up and bawled and just walked away and called my husband over and be like, handle it. But instead I was like, let's remember this. What have I learned from this? And my husband, he's like, you know, glass half full of piss, but I'm the optimist where it's like, okay, I kept 5 alive and they just didn't have water because the way the room's set up or shut down. But anyway, it's weird, but with social media and people connecting, quote unquote, the most real posts are the ones that get the most attention. And so I've had chickens attacked. They have this thing called prolapse, which I guess it can happen in humans too. Like if you have a baby, but parts of your innards can come out as you're trying to birth an egg. And so there's, I YouTubed it and, try to figure out how to take care of it. And it was in my Chickens for Dummies book, but it didn't work and she was suffering. And so I put her out of her misery. And this was a couple years into the business, but I am like bawling my eyes out. I'm in pajamas. So of course I take a picture because it's very artistic with a bloody knife. And just to remember, like, this was the real part of it. I didn't want to forget what I had just gone through. And we put that chicken in the crock pot. You know what I mean? So there is this passion about what I do, but we did start it just to be a homestead and to be more self-sustaining. And, but yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. So it's just every day figuring it out. And I tell people, like, we could have a farm side by side and you could have the exact same chickens, the exact same setup, but we will have totally different problems. So like a bumblefoot is a thing that a lot of chickens get, or not a lot, but it's a disease that's common. In 8 years, like, we've never had bumblefoot, but I just ran over 2 chickens last week. Like, you know, that's the shit you can't plan for or do research on that happens, that you just kind of go with the flow. But yeah, when you were like, oh, I'm answering these questions, and it's like, we're talking to entrepreneurs. I was like, okay, well, you don't get into farming for the money. And so you shouldn't really get into any business unless you're passionate about it. I've been a waitress, a liquor rep, assistant editor of the Pulse, radio DJ, extra on Eastbound and Down. And I'm like, somebody said, what haven't you done? And I'm like, make money. So,
well, they say that comes if you're following a passion. Speaking of passions and farming, you're also a part of Zero Waste Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I'd say that our chickens aren't like non-GMO, because I've always worked with local restaurants or produce stands, and I get their uglies, or before Newterra compost came around and started like taking everybody's compost, which I thank them for that. I was picking up, you know, people's compost. So the chickens weren't getting total non-GMO. They'll get my McDonald's fries if I feel froggy. But the zero waste, I don't know if it was just like the way I was brought up, like family of four, I'd hide my food in like the vegetable drawer. You know, my mom's bringing home canned goods without labels on them. We're like, is it dog food? Is it cocktail fruit? Because my parents, both parents worked in a grocery store. But this idea of just getting everything out of an item before you toss it. And so there's the Facebook group Zero Waste Chattanooga, which was run by a friend, Sadie, and she has an official website. Like, she is Miss Zero Waste Chattanooga.
Sadie,
I want to say it's McElrath, McElrath.
Shout out.
But the Zero Waste Chattanooga Facebook group, and she's a mom, and there's another, my friend Jennifer is in there as an admin, and it started to get a little like yard sale-y, like people trying to be zero waste and get rid of stuff. And I was like, well, there's other groups for that. They're called Buy Nothing, B-U-Y, Nothing groups. So I was like, hey, Jen, hey, Sadie, there's two of you. Like, how do you guys decide on something? Can I be an admin? So I've been admin that for a couple months. But it goes back to that growing community. I'm good at that. You know, screw aloe, hard-boiled eggs, dead chicken sometimes. But I'm good at growing community. So just connecting people. And the stuff that I'm like seriously going to trash, I'm like, well, I'm just going to try to post it and see. And sure enough, somebody can utilize this random piece of insulation that I've tried to recycle it. I've tried to keep it as long as I could in my like farmer hoarder space. But yeah, the pumpkin chunking, that came up because Bryden's Produce is right down the road from me. And so they have all these pumpkins left over at the end of the season, and they don't want to be wasteful. And so there's a goat guy and myself that will collect the old pumpkins. And then I'm telling people to make it a tradition. Come to the farm, no contact. You can pull up, I'll leave you be. And like, you just chunk them, and the chicken's yolk is the color of that pumpkin. I mean, it's gorgeous. There's a lot of great vitamins in it. But again, going back to that with the zero waste and pumpkin chunking or whatever, it's growing community. It's getting people to realize that we do have similar interests, and there is a farm right up the road. Like, I grew up in Baltimore, D.C. There, you had to drive a good chunk to get to any kind of agricultural land. But so does that answer? I'm long-winded today.
Yeah, no, that's good. We zero waste is something that Chattanooga and really everybody should pay attention to, because we waste a lot of shit.
We do.
And the world is going to just like swallow us up one day and say, I can't live anymore because of the products that we use and throw away.
Yeah, like when we tear down the house, we're going to salvage what we can from it. And then I've offered it up to friends of like, hey, does anybody want to come in and get this trim or that sink? And then once the friends go through it, I'm going to basically have like an open house where people can just come and salvage what they want.
You know, there is my wife and I, we do the Nuterra compost thing.
Awesome.
And
shout out. Nuterra.
Shout out to Nuterra. You know, it's kind of funny because I have to drop it off while driving my diesel truck. So I kind of feel like whatever, you know, but we'll do the recycling everything too. But when after I drop off the compost, I go pick up a dump trailer and take it to like the dump. And I'm like, is what we're doing, does it matter? Because there is a real life situation of like, tearing down your trailer, you can only use so much and then you got to move on with life.
Yeah.
But we appreciate what you do for that.
Well, like you just said, does it matter? And does it matter to you? Like, so if it matters to you and the next person, then that's a huge impact, right? And so the thought of pumpkin chunking and little kids coming out and throwing pumpkins at chickens after Halloween, what they're experiencing, that means something to me. I'm like, okay, even if it only happens four times a year or once a year or whatever, I'm having a good time chunking pumpkins. So that's, you know, you driving and dumping off the Nuterra, it's like, does it matter to you? And that I feel like is the big impact, you know, because then your little boys will maybe do it as well, right?
Let's hope so. I know that we've brought our kids to your farm once, and I forgot exactly what they did, but they had a lot of fun.
I think we just wore them out walking the field.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. I don't think we were throwing pumpkins, but we were throwing something. I know that. Speaking of, I'd like to just add a visual description here. The second to last time I was on your farm,
oh, yeah.
I was invited to get a chicken, and the only other time I've had a chicken that wasn't store-bought, it was delicious. Like, I ate the whole thing in one setting. It didn't taste like rubber. It was just delicious. So I'm like, sure, I'll come over and grab a free-range or organic or whatever chicken. Well, that wasn't so much the case. I show up, and you and Robert and somebody else...
Our friend's kid.
Friend's kid had just make a kill zone. And this kill zone, if you would, on the side of a house, they put five, I think, cone cylindrical style deals where it was hot, big on the top, small on the bottom. And they were grabbing these chickens and sticking them in this upside down. And they'd put like five in at a time and then take this fucking machete fillet knife thing and go whoosh. And then, like, blood is everywhere, and chickens are, like, kicking and shit. And I was like...
Welcome. Welcome to the farm. Right.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm a manly man, but I got an emergency I got to attend to. I got to get out of here real quick. That was an interesting sight.
Yeah. You talk as much as I do, and I think you were speechless.
Yeah.
So that was the first time we had butchered chickens, and first time I had ever... done anything like that, like outside of science class. And we had these, it was meat bird variety, big old honking white birds. I remember you pulling up and I'm on the truck taking pictures because I'm not getting anywhere near Robert and this kid butchering chickens. And of course the teenage boy is like, yeah, you know, and Robert too. But I got nauseous that day and had to like step away from it. And Robert's like, look, I need your help. Like, I need you to get off the truck. And you've taken 1,000 pictures. Like, get. And I was like, I need a minute. And so it's those kind of challenges that was 8 years ago. And now I'm teaching a bunch of bitches to butcher tomorrow. I'm going tonight to get 100 hens and these fellow female farm hers, right? They haven't had that opportunity to do that, or maybe some have and they want their own fresh meat. But now I'm teaching people how to do it. And I don't like the whole slitting of the throat aspect, but like gutting it and getting the feathers off, you feel like it's operation. But, you know, grown-up edition, farm
edition.
So
you mentioned 8 years a couple times.
Yeah.
What made you want to start farming?
Robert.
Meeting Robert.
Yeah. He grew up on a farm in Maryland and was used to milking cows and butchering chickens. I grew up in like suburbia, Maryland. We didn't meet until we were outside of Maryland, which is a fun fact. But two things. He's like, oh, we bought these 20 acres off of Craigslist. Oh, we'll get chickens and we'll get goats and we'll plant things. And I'm like, okay, well, sure, whatever. He's like, you don't have to work. I was like, hey, I'm working harder than like I ever have and making nothing. But it's fun most times. But he was like, I know if I put a product in your hand, you can sell anything. And so we'll do it to live off the land. And then a few months later, Needloves is like, hey, we'll take 60 dozen. I went to talk to Needloves to sponsor the roller derby girls, the tough cookie. And I was like, Needloves make no tough cookie except for roller derby. Anyway. And he's like, oh, you have a chicken? You have chickens? You have a farm? I'll take 60 dozen. And we were like, all right. And so all of a sudden, this small homestead, like overnight, became this big operation. And so here, now that we're tearing down the house, working more on personal, less professional, Robert's mentioned that option again. And I've never been a kept woman. I have worked, you know, tree jobs and all the time. And I've now, it's taken me years to understand how I can contribute, not so much financially, and saving the planet and composting and decreasing food waste and having an awesome space where people can come and have fun and learn something new is my contribution. But yeah. Well,
and as we, you know, we have entrepreneurs on here, business people, and it's really easy to sit across the table and idolize that farm life and think, oh, I can stop working. I don't have to talk to people. But you're saying it's more hustle and bustle.
Yeah. Like, cause I don't have kids. So some, like there's been 2 days in a row where like, I haven't talked to anybody. Bless you, social media sometimes, but like you don't have, you can talk to the livestock, you can go crazy. So having that connection with the community is important. And I am like an extrovert and a chatty Cathy. So hosting events or going places and speaking, I don't know. It's kind of that fix that farming doesn't generate, I guess. And I have a broadcast journalism degree. I have a communications degree. So being amongst things, like you said, don't talk back, right? We were talking about Christmas trees and livestock and he's like, well, they don't talk back. I like a challenge. And so, I say I'm a free range woman. I can go where I want, but I just keep coming back to the same place.
So what advice would you give to somebody that's thinking about switching gears?
That was one of the big things that is not like a touchy subject, but for farming, it's like having one person make a steady income was crucial for us. And I do know my buddy who, she has cattle. Her husband is a contractor. And so it's like, okay, if we have a coyote attack or something, or for me, it's like, if I have a chicken attack, the lights won't be shut off. And that not everybody can do that. But what we've been doing with Feathers and Fruit was supposed to be a transition from Robert working full time, just us working full time, to like what we want retirement to look like. And then it became a business. And now it's what size business do I want it to be, right? How do you define small business? Because I'm small, like small potatoes. But the best advice, I think, is to not put all your eggs in one basket and have some other supplemental income. Like I side hustle, you know, the canning classes. When we have had two late frosts that have like killed my orchard and crops, the classes have helped keep my car payment going, you know. But yeah, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I think that's a nice little...
And prepare several farm puns.
Always, like all day. Somebody just told me about Eggspressive. I was like, oh my God, I've never used that. Like I seriously haven't. I use like Eggzausted and things like that. But I was like, oh, let's try to be more Eggspressive. But yeah, all the puns. But Malcolm, are you guys, do you dig in the dirt?
My wife makes me tend the garden for her, but I told her like recently, I can't do that anymore. Like I had to make the garden, and then like she plants the stuff, and then I've got to do the rest of the shit. And I can appreciate that, but at the end of the day,
that's not what you want.
Well, I mean, I can water this thing 94 times over the summer and I get 2 cucumbers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, honey, she actually this year is our garden area is only going to be flowers. So there she's doing a flower garden. I'm like, thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
So I am a uncertified morticulturalist. It's hard to say. I'm
a certified morticulturalist.
I plant dead plants all the time. That's and let me tell you, like if they survive and they come back, I'm going to plant more of them, hopefully not dead. But I've planted rosemary, all kinds of herbs and flowers, and they come back. And I'm like, you're my friend. Because I don't have the green thumb. And so I joke that the difference between farming and gardening is fun. But you're like, it's not fun. I don't want to. My husband, like Robert, has built all the infrastructure. So he does the numbers. That's another thing about owning your own business. And if you're doing it with a partner that you share a bed with, having definitive roles, right? So he does the numbers, taxes, and infrastructure, and always fixes things I break, which is a full-time job. And then I do the backbreaking labor and the marketing and like the out in public stuff. But I have, again, talked to other farmers who, like, one does all the goats and one does the vegetables and one does this, like having those clear lines, because otherwise you will have that back and forth of like, well, I think we should do this way. And you're like, I will take that into consideration, but mind your business. Because you and Daniel, right, as far as having the business, are there a clear definitive?
Nothing's clear. Actually, that was one of my questions for you. You know, speaking of those lanes and those lines,
yeah.
Something that I've always pondered would be how do you establish a work-life balance when you are on the farm and you live on the farm and the farm is the work? What part is the life part?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, there's not.
There isn't one. Mm-mm. Oh, okay.
It's all just blended together.
Thanks for getting me out of the house, guys. I was like, I thought we were drinking. That has always been, like, I've always been a workaholic, even though making no money, right? Or not racking in the dough, because I'm terrible with money. But, and Robert, too, he's a workaholic. And so trying to find that balance in general has been tough. And then from going to making my own money and being the independent woman to now, like, okay, I'm in this relationship where he wants me to focus on building our retirement life and just shifting that whole frame of mind of balance, right? Like work-life balance, but then even just relationship balance, because we have had many conversations at the dinner table and I have said, we are more than chickens. I need us to talk about something else, right? Or we are more than eggs. I need us to talk about something else. Like, so making sure we used to have, the whole egg processing, sorting shebang in our kitchen, and I'm sitting at the dinner table
kitchen
and I'm like, I can feel these chores just staring at me. I can feel these eggs just looking, I need to do. And so with the transition of the property, we've slowly like put my business out of sight so I can just sit in a living room or sit at the kitchen table and have a conversation and not be looking at work.
Enjoy that thing that everybody idolizes about farming.
Right. It's like, oh, I just walk outside and there's eggs and the sound of nature. And I'm like, yeah, and there's chicken shit everywhere. The chickens poop every 20 minutes, just so you know. So I will never have chicken yoga and goat yoga. I haven't been to it, but I'm just like, they poop.
They shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
I really appreciate you sharing the failures and the not so pretty stuff of what is glamorized, I guess, in my opinion. Do you have a book recommendation for the listeners, Jesse?
Cookbooks are good. No, I'm just kidding.
Cookbooks. Okay.
The book I'm going to write in 5 years, called Summer Lovin', Winter Bush. I'm not a reader. I'm more of a writer. But the one book that I did read from beginning to end was Chickens for Dummies, Gardening for Dummies, and Blueberry Years. The Blueberry Years was written by this couple who bought a whole bunch of land and started a blueberry farm, a blueberry orchard from scratch. And just his writing, I really enjoy because they talk about they both worked full time while trying to start this farm and just getting to know their neighbors. So there's a lot of personal and professional insight in the blueberry years. So we'll stick with that one.
I love it. So we're going to wrap up here, Jesse. And since the name of this podcast is Square One, we like to ask our guests, if you could go back to square one, when would that be? And what would you tell yourself?
So I remember being 10 and like writing. Do you remember R.L. Stein? Mm. Right. Okay.
Hell yeah. Good right? Shout out. Right?
Okay. On. Right. I would write my own version of those and I still have them like to this day. That is not what the book is going to be like. But so just kind of going back at that age of development and saying like, keep writing, do what you want, but you're not going to make any money. And you're okay with that, right? Because we're taught to like nose to the grindstone. I mean, I am a workaholic, but I am not rolling in dough. You know what I mean? I'm still dumpster diving.
You're saving the fucking planet, man.
But does that, going back to yours, does it matter?
Well, like who's anybody okay. there? But, does it matter right now? But like, right. Let's look in two generations. Are the kids going to look back and say, hey, my dad drove a nice car, or I can live and breathe on earth because of the actions that this other person took? Which one do you think is more important?
Right, right. But even letting myself know back then at that young age, like, you know, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. That kind of frame of mind. I saw that like spray painted on a Mennonite.
I need that in my life.
Dude, it was on this Mennonite, what's that thing called? Sealand container. And it's like spray painted on like graffiti-esque, but farmer style, you know, Mennonite style. And it's like, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And I was like, I love that. But I like working. I like contributing to the home life. I'd love to contribute more to my bank account. But with that too, I would just tell myself, my younger self, that like, you're going to do what you love, but you're not going to make all the money. And that's okay. But if anybody wants to send me money, I have a website and people can pick up their orders here.
Tell us how we can find, first off, do you still go to the market?
I'm going once a month to the Main Street Farmers Market.
Main Street Market is at Finley Stadium.
It's kind of where under parking where the solar panels are. So there's like Chestnut and 20th Street. It's the one parking lot down by Finley Stadium that has solar panels on top.
And we can find you there when?
Once a month on Wednesdays.
And once a month on Wednesdays, which is what Wednesday?
There's different events. So
just
like,
take a Wednesday and randomly guess. Go, maybe you'll find her there. Maybe you won't.
I do post when I'm going to be there. And like the market, what did we just, Food Waste Prevention Week was last week. So I was at the market for that. I think the next one, it's going to be Memorial Day, the Wednesday before Memorial Day.
So online store, classes, all that kind of good stuff. Where is the best way for us to follow you and find that info?
The website. So feathers with an S, andfruit.com.
And we can find you on social media.
Yep. And all those links are on the website, the event calendar. I'm working hard on that website. Digital stuff, that's another hard part. Like, I want to dig in the dirt, but Fridays has become my like laptop and laundry day. So creating that structure so I'm not like on the laptop all the time, doing laundry all the time, trying to find that balance. So on Fridays is laptop day, and Fridays you can pick up any orders from the website here at Chattanooga Home Inspector.
Feathersandfruit.com. Also, if you're in need of any puns or, you know, rhyming words of your day or activity, Jesse will be very welcome to help you with that.
Thank you. Yes, we'll work for anything.
Jesse, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you and your passion and the products that you supply to us. So thank you. It was great to have you.
Thanks for asking me.
Thank you for listening to the Square One podcast brought to you by Omni Home Services. We represent Chattanooga Home Inspector, Nuclear Pest Control, Elevate Home Staging Design, Radon Eraser, and hopefully more business entities in the future. We release a new episode every Thursday. If you like this episode, share it with your friends, neighbors, real estate agents, or whoever. Make sure you subscribe to Spotify, Apple, or wherever the hell you listen to your podcasts.